Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name's Ruben Nava. Jesse Romero is my partner. We are 10-8. We're open for calls, and we're here to bring you some Catholic intel. Good morning, Jess.
Hey, reporting for duty, Ruben. Ruben, this topic here is a topic that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about it because it was way before, you know, my time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of and the topic is called vaping. This is something that's pretty prevalent amongst millennials. I've always had my suspicions that there's something sinful about it, that there's something that definitely promotes vice. To me, it's a disordered practice that it can't end up leading to anything good by going down this route. So that's what we're going to talk about today, Ruben, the analyzing the health risks of vaping.
Yes. Hey, Jess, let's just...
What's your opinion, Ruben, about this vaping?
I'm like you. This is kind of a recent thing that's... you know, I was more concerned with narcotics and not tobacco, but apparently now they're putting THC and smoking that in these pipes, in these vapor things. And so it's not good. I've known that. I've read that there's some serious consequences, side effects. It's even more damaging than smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, well, that's what we want to talk about today. So let's jump right into it.
Yeah, let's just start with a prayer for Cardinal Burke. He's still doing well, and I just heard an update that, you know, obviously they're not letting his family go in. They're not letting his, you know, the priests go in. There is one hospital chaplain that gets to go in once a day, but still he's not responsive right now. So we have to entrust him to the hands of our Blessed Mother. So if we would just say a Hail Mary for him, and it was in the nomine Patri Filii et Spiritu Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio, Spiritu Sancto, sic erat in principio, et nunc et semper,
et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Ruben, he's one of the greatest cardinals in my lifetime. I'll just say it point blank. Of the cardinals in my lifetime in the last 60 years, he definitely stands head and shoulders above the average cardinal in the Catholic Church.
Yes, that's
true. And I believe the left wants to kill him, Ruben.
I don't know. I'd say that, but I'd say that he's kind of
been a thorn. They don't like him.
Yeah, he's been a thorn in the side. He's one of the dubia cardinals. So, and the two other of those dubia cardinals are gone as well. So he
exactly.
He's the third one. He could be the third one. So,
God help us. Yeah. All right, Ruben, let's jump into this. analyzing the health risks of vaping. Mm-hmm. E-cigarettes or vapes have become popular over the last decade. It comes in various shapes and sizes with customizable features and palatable flavors. Considered a sleek tobacco alternative, it's no wonder they appeal to the young and old.
Right.
However, recent reports show a growing lung epidemic linked with vaping. Moreover, leading e-cigarette company Juul, that's spelled J-U-U-L, is under fire for the rising rate of underage vaping. In this guide, we'll run down the health risks of e-cigarettes, why it's prevalent, and its socioeconomic impact on people. So, how do vapes work? E-cigarettes are pocket-sized, battery-powered contraptions that that simulate smoking. They work by heating a liquid solution to produce an aerosol, which is inhaled into the lungs. It's activated by pressing a button or simply taking a puff.
Right there, it just sounds bad. Inhaling a chemical, an aerosol. Oh boy.
The e-liquid or e-juice can be customized to contain nicotine and different flavors. Other vapors use THC and cannabinoid CBD oils. THC is a psychoactive compound that produces the high, while CBD is known to help relieve various types of pain, such as arthritis.
Yeah. So the U.S. lung epidemic. So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has discouraged the public from vaping as they conduct investigations. And as of November 5th, 2019, there have been 2,051 cases of vaping-related lung injuries.
Wow.
With 39 confirmed deaths in 24 states and the District of Columbia. Right there, Jesse, we've had the CDC is admitting that there has been 11,000 deaths from the vaccine. And, they haven't done anything about that. But here, this has been going on since 2019. They haven't got a handle on it. So I don't know. I don't put my trust in the CDC. And in November 8th, 2019, the CDC reported that lung fluids from 29 EVALI patients, e-cigarette, vaping-associated lung injury in 10 states found vitamin E acetate, an additive identified as some THC-infused vape products. And the Wall Street Journal reported a statement from Ann Schuchat, the CDC principal deputy director. For the first time, we have detected a potential toxin of concern. These findings provide direct evidence of vitamin E acetate to the primary site of the injury within the lung. However, Schuchat said more studies are needed to know if vitamin E oil caused the vaping injuries. Health officials note that the illness may have more than one cause. And they point out that vitamin E oil is usually found in food and dietary supplements. I take it every day. It's sometimes added to e-cigarette products containing the marijuana oil, THC, especially black market products, to increase its weight. And so the additive is safe to eat, but possibly dangerous when inhaled.
Hmm.
And the patients reported the following symptoms: cough, shortness of breath or chest pain, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain or diarrhea, fever, chills, or weight loss.
The CDC continues to warn the public from using e-cigarette products that contain marijuana oil, THC, specifically from informal sources like online dealers, family and friends. Health officials assure the public that they provide an ongoing information about the issue. The health risks of using e-cigarettes. Vaping is regarded as a smoking cessation aid. However, it's not entirely risk-free. There are hazards to vaping, which include the following health conditions. First bullet, there's pneumonia among vapers using THC. Second bullet, you have nicotine addiction, harmful to developing fetuses, and can impede adolescent brain development. Third bullet, possible heart problems. Some studies say it's associated with heart attack and stroke. Fourth bullet, possible cancer and organ damage. It may have lead and other cancer-causing agents. Fifth bullet, possible seizures, reported between 2010 and 2019. And sixth bullet, injuries, possible vape battery explosions.
Mm-hmm.
The rise in the cases of pneumonia. In September 2019, the CDC released a report about the rising rate of acute lipoid pneumonia linked with vaping. Health officials said there were over 200 possible cases across 25 states. Between July and August 2019, five patients ages 18 to 35 years old were diagnosed from two hospitals in North Carolina they all experienced the following symptoms. Number one, difficulty breathing with tachypnea, that's abnormally rapid breathing. Number two, hypoxemia, that's abnormally low oxygen levels in the blood. Third bullet, vomiting. Fourth bullet, nausea. Fifth bullet, severe discomfort. And sixth bullet, fever. All patients had a recent history of using e-cigarettes filled with cartridges of marijuana oils. Three of the patients also smoked nicotine-infused vapes, while two smoked marijuana or regular cigarettes. They all used the vaping concentrate, THC, which were bought on the streets.
So vitamin E oil, it's found in THC, and as of November 8th, 2019, CDC laboratory tests of lung fluids from 29 patients found vitamin E acetate, also known as vitamin E oil, in all the samples. THC was found in 83% of the samples. Nicotine was identified in 62% of the samples. And the FDA continues to gather more information to understand how the substances are connected to the lung injuries. Health officials stressed that the varied patterns of use, products, and substances being investigated may indicate there are multiple causes for the illness. So we'll be right back. We're going to keep this up. I'm learning something myself. Jesse, this is new information. So we'll be right back. Don't chase that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Two-man car, 10-8 for Jesus. And we're talking about vaping and some of the health risks of vaping. It's a phenomenon that we're seeing amongst mostly the young, but there are some adults that do use it, and so we're just trying to give out the warnings that give you some information so that you can make your a well reasoned decision whether you should continue or not, and then maybe we'll talk about the other aspects of it in terms of our faith. You know, is this would this be a sin? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, Jess, you want to pick it up?
Yeah, go ahead okay. And pick it up, Ruben.
All right. Antifungal chemicals and black market THC. Black market, obviously, are the stuff that's sold on the streets. It's not, these aren't, companies that are making a lot of times. It's the cartel stuff, and people are producing it in homes, and, they have their... they have their little setups going on with the hydroponics and the lights and all the everything that they grow their own marijuana and then derive from that, and they sell it on the black market. So tobacco, marijuana, or vape liquids are extracted from the respective plants. These plants are also subject to possible fungal infections. Furthermore, Denninger claims that, quote, there has been a specific fungicide that has been found in a set of THC vape cartridges that a news organization allegedly got from the victims of these incidents. That fungicide, when heated, decomposes into cyanide and hydrochloric acid. Cyanide is known to cause lung injury, which also manifests as difficulty breathing and nausea. Hydrochloric acid, on the other hand, is a corrosive substance that causes irritation to the skin and asphyxiation when inhaled. Fungal infections in THC is possible, though health officials did not mention anything about fungus contamination. The CDC continues to discourage the use of vapes with THC. And media outlets like Fox News have reported the dangers of purchasing black market vape products. In September 2019, police seized almost $4 million worth of illegal THC. Packaging used to make fake marijuana vaping materials were also sold in third-party sites like Amazon. And so in September 2019, KRFO Radio reported that Amazon has pulled out the counterfeit packaging for unregulated vape products.
Ruben, I've never... When people started vaping, I always knew that there was just something fishy in Denmark. the way I see people inhaling, and it's like they're inhaling like 100 times more carbon monoxide than you could inhale by smoking a cigarette or smoking a cigar. And that can't be good for you.
No.
Just to get, for your lungs to get blasted with about like 30 cigarettes in one, you know, in one fell swoop, that cannot be good for your lungs. And you'll later on in the report, it's going to talk about that. Mm. But yeah, tobacco and marijuana vape liquids are extracted from their respective plants. Did you already cover that, Ruben?
Yeah. We're not proven to help stop smoking.
High nicotine levels?
Yeah.
High nicotine levels. Vapes contain significantly more nicotine than cigarettes, according to heart.org.
Yeah.
This might encourage addiction rather than minimize its use. According to SouthBeachSmoke.com, light strength e-liquid has 12 milligrams of nicotine, which is equivalent to, here's the point that I'm making now, which is equivalent to more than 60 regular cigarettes. A regular American cigarette has around 9 milligrams of nicotine, which burns away as a person inhales just about 1 milligram of nicotine. Depending on how often you vape, you might be inhaling more nicotine compared to compared to tobacco smoke. Moreover, compared to methods endorsed by the FDA, the National Academies Press states there is insufficient evidence that vaping can help smokers quit. You know, that because that's the whole point of people saying, vaping is going to help. It's going to help me quit smoking cigarettes. That's why I need to vape. Uh-huh. And the studies. Well, these experts say that's false. That's just not true. To date, the FDA does not approve vaping for smoking cessation. There are also heartbreaking stories about people like 16-year-old Iwan Fisher, who needed life support, and John Steffen, who died after switching to e-cigarettes to quit smoking. Detroit's Henry Ford Hospital conducted a double lung transplant on a Evali patient. Dr. Hassan Nemeh, he writes this, the following. What I saw in his lungs was something I never seen before. And I've been doing lung transplants for 20 years. There was an enormous amount of inflammation. The lung was so scarred that we had to literally deliver it out of the chest.
Wow.
This is an evil I haven't faced before. Close quote.
Hmm. Yeah. So vaping, it's become a hard habit to quit. So research published by the American Heart Association stated that e-cigarettes were associated with higher risk of heart disease, heart attack, stroke, and angina. There is currently not enough evidence that proves vaping causes heart disease, but in 2018, NAP published a review which states there is insufficient or no available evidence that vaping is associated with changes in the following functions: long-term changes in the heart rate, changes in blood pressure, altered cardiac function, respiratory disease for pregnant women, fetal development. But since 2018, reports from the CDC has associated vaping with respiratory disease. More long-term research is needed to confirm if it has ill effects on the heart. But just those things right there alone should give someone pause and say, man, this can't be good for me. And so most consumers don't really know the ingredients in the vapes. Healthline states that there are around 8,000 e-liquids in the market today, which may have lung-corroding ingredients. And here are common harmful ingredients found in vapes. Formaldehyde.
Wow.
Respiratory tract irritant can cause narrowing of the bronchi and the fluid of accumulation in the lungs. Cinnamaldehyde. Cinnamon flavor disrupts normal cell physiology, may influence the development of respiratory disease, impairs normal airway, cilia, and motility. Vanillin. It's a vanilla flavor. It can impair blood vessel function, which is a sign of heart damage. And diacetyl, microwave popcorn flavor, can cause irreversible lung disease called bronchiolitis obliterans. So, you know, they flavor these things to make it appealing to these young people. And, you know, you almost feel like, wow, it can't be bad for me. It, you know, I mean, it's like I used to drink my coffee with flavored creamer, Jesse. And, you know, I just didn't want to get. At first, I gave up sugar. Excuse me, I gave up cream. I didn't want cream. I didn't want the fat in the cream. And then I said, well, I don't want the sugar in it. So, I mean, I went to unsweetened, but still, I just, you know what? I just went black coffee, you know?
Old school.
I went old school. And yeah. And so some of these kids that are using this stuff, they get enticed by the flavor, you know? So I was probably drinking more coffee when it was flavored. And that's my point. They're doing this because, oh, it tastes good and it's cool. And they look like they're sophisticated. And just think back in when cigarettes became popular, you used to see TV shows where they're all smoking cigarettes. On the I Love Lucy show, you know, Ricky was always smoking cigarettes and it was supposed to look cool and sophisticated. So
that you just answered the question why people vape, because they want to look cool.
Yeah.
It looks, it's fashionable. This is what the, the Hollywood elites are doing. This is what they see the rich and famous doing. And so they just want to be part of the, you know, part of the cool club.
Yeah.
This is exactly why they do it. And I think a lot of young people, when they're our age, Ruben, they're going to reap the consequences real, real bad when doctors start looking at 30 years of doing this and start telling them all the damage they've done to their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Possible link to seizures. In April 2019, the FDA released a statement about possible seizures following e-cigarette use. Health officials received reports of youths and young adults who experienced convulsions after vaping. They identified a total of 35 cases between 2010 and 2019. While 35 cases may seem insubstantial, health officials believe it warrants further scientific investigation. In 2016, the U.S. Department of Transportation officially banned using e-cigarettes on commercial plane flights, as reported by Fortune. Reports of injuries caused by exploding vapes have circulated the news.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the NBC reported that a 17-year-old boy's jaw was shattered by a vape explosion. They note that lithium-ion batteries are not a safe source of power for vape pens. And by the mid-1950s, experts published research showing the link between smoking and cancer. And by 1964, the U.S. Surgeon General's report officially stated that smoking causes lung cancer and laryngeal cancer and chronic bronchitis. So when you look at just, again, even when it comes to smoking cigarettes, at first, the Surgeon General in the mid-50s, hey, they were okay with it. And then it wasn't until, again, more consequences as a result of cigarette smoking. Then in 1964, the Surgeon General basically, you know, took a different position and said, no. This does cause lung cancer. So again, if somebody says that's why, Ruben, so much of medicine has been politicized.
Yeah.
You could find one doctor saying one thing and then tomorrow he's saying something different. This is what's so frustrating right now for all of us. Like, for example, when it even comes to the jab,
mm-hmm.
You have doctors that are just contradicting each other. And who's the victims? Us, the rank and file. We're the ones that are like, hey, I just want to get, want to get better. You know, I don't want to get into politics. I just want to get better. you know, I'm talking about for those that have COVID-19.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, I hear the music. We're going to be coming back, picking up this on the other side of the break. I'm seeing on the chat there, we have some of our listeners that are vapors. You're welcome to call in 1-877-526-2151. Be right back.
All right.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, just from Eric Rubinava. Ruben, you know, I've always seen, for me, vaping, I'll make it very simple. I'll tell you what turns me off about vaping. Ever, you know, when I started seeing this, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. It's, I don't know about, I just don't believe that it's good for you to put carbon monoxide into your lungs. Call me weird, call me old fashioned, but to me, it's not a good thing. To me, putting carbon monoxide into your lungs through vaping would be, for me, like, you know, putting your mouth around the exhaust pipe of a car. That's exactly what you're doing. I just don't see, why people are so fascinated by this. The second thing I believe is that, you know why people vape? Because it's a way for them to get loaded. It's a way for them to put their little THC into their little pipes, into their little the little vape pens or vape pods. It's just a way for people to get loaded, because again, our society, people like to get loaded. You know why? Because people that are secular have a hard time dealing with reality. And so if you're a secular humanist, it's hard. You have nothing to look forward to.
Right.
And so all you want to do is basically, as you live in this world, you just want to stay constantly sedated, because again, you don't have a biblical worldview. You don't realize that, you know, there will be a day we will all die. We will all go to our particular judgment, and there will be heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
People can't process that. And so this is the whole vaping. It's just another way to keep Americans high and sedated so they don't have to think about the important issues of life.
Yeah, you know, I have a nephew that he's into health, he's into bodybuilding and training people, and he vapes, and he has to know that there's consequences to it, and yet there's a disconnect there. He's trying to be healthy on one hand, eating good and working out, and then on the other hand, he's putting these toxins in his body, and I've told him before, but it, you know, it just goes in one ear out the other, so. I'm hoping that, you know, maybe I'll send them this article, but, it's unfortunate. And like you said, Jess, many times it's a way for people to smoke the THC with, you know, so it doesn't, you're not hitting on a joint, you know, where it looks illegal, you know, this looks
exactly.
looks more sophisticated and,
yes,
it's their way of doing it. And marijuana, obviously, a lot of states have already legalized it. So people look at it like, oh, it's no big deal. It's like drinking a beer. And it really isn't. It really isn't. So I know we've talked about that in other shows. And, you know, your book, obviously, hit the nail on the head. And Jesse's got a book on marijuana. And what's the title of it, Jess?
It's right here.
Yeah.
I'm grabbing it. What's wrong with marijuana? 50 questions and answers. Yeah. What's wrong with marijuana? 50 questions and answers. Ruben forwarded the book, by the way.
All right. So let's finish this up. So the following are some of the strategies companies use to promote e-cigarettes. Vape and cell phone in one. So Jupiter smokable smartphone. Now, the next one is pain influencers to promote it on Instagram. Oh, boy. So, yeah, you see some of these people on Instagram push. They pay them. That's what they call influencers. They pay them to be using it on when they do their videos. And there's a lot of products that are being promoted that way. But vaping is one of them. Small and discreet design, easy to hide for teens. Next point is a wide range of flavored tobacco products. That's probably the most influential. And customizable vaping units. So that in 2017, the cigarette company spent $9.36 billion on marketing cigarettes and smokeless tobacco in the U.S. based on data from the Federal Trade Commission. The amount converts to 25 million a day or over 1 million per hour.
Wow.
And yeah.
Follow the money.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jess.
Yep. This is capitalism gone wild. This is the worst part of capitalism. This doesn't please God, trust me. So after your initial purchase, Vaping 360 states that users should expect to spend around $30 to $60 a month for coils and e-juice. The Juul controversy and underage vaping. After growing rapidly and dominating the e-cigarettes market, Juul, that's J-U-U-L, began to promote their products heavily as being for adults, as an alternative to smoking cigarettes. By September 2019, Walmart announced it will stop selling e-cigarettes due to pressure from regulators, according to CNN.
Good.
Walmart also supports raising the minimum age for tobacco purchase from 18 to 21 years old. Yeah. In a related story, Business Insider reported an in-depth timeline of the success and controversies faced by Juul, according to their interview with Stanford physician Robert Jackler, Juul's product campaigns were largely youth-oriented. As early as 2017, media outlets like NPR and USA Today have published news about the rising Juuling epidemic among teenagers. This sparked concern among school administrators and parents with future effects of nicotine addiction. In November 2019, Juul announced they intended to lay off 650 employees and cut spending by $1 billion after pulling popular flavors. Anti-tobacco groups against vaping. Organizations like Tobacco Free California were driven to campaign against underage vaping. They formed the FlavorsHookKids.org with the initiative to prevent children from getting addicted to smoking. According to the site, the tobacco industry is hooking the next generation of addicts, and flavors are a big way in. 4 out of 5 kids who have used tobacco started with a flavored product. Anti-tobacco organization Truth Initiative states that one Juul pod contains 20 cigarettes worth of nicotine, which is around 200 puffs.
Wow. So that's a whole pack, of cigarettes there. And, you know, studies show that cigarette smoking has gone down, Jesse. And because, you know, the warnings have been coming out, her Surgeon General warning that was, they had to put it on the side of the package. And so, you know, some of that has been filtering down to the users. And we see emphysema and lung disease and all that from smoking. So it's losing its popularity amongst the young. But this something like this. So these tobacco companies, they get into this business because it's a way to continue you know, getting their users and attacking our young people.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's go on here. Take smoking rates among the youth. WSJ reports 36.4% of high school students claim to have smoked cigarettes in 1997. In contrast to 2017, only 7.6% of high school students have smoked cigarettes. So that's positive. Just how common is vaping in the country? An often cited study in the Annals of Internal Medicine estimates that 10.8 million adults in the U.S. were vaping in 2016. Since its publication, vaping's prevalence continued to grow. The study headed by Dr. Michael Blaha of Johns Hopkins University surveyed a sample population of 466,842 people in each state with participants ages 18 and above. So in terms of age, over half of the 15,240 e-cigarette users were younger than 35 years old. Vaping was most prevalent among people ages 18 to 24 years old, while prevalence seems to decrease with age. Go ahead, Jess. Take it from there.
Yeah. Minorities, mm-hmm. like members of the LGBT community, are also vulnerable to vaping. For instance, vaping was common among 7% of gays and lesbians compared with 4.6% of heterosexuals. Around 9% of transgender people and bisexuals were also e-cigarette users. Tobacco companies have explicitly targeted the LGBTQ communities with focused marketing campaigns. Additionally, vaping was likely among people with chronic health problems like breathing disorders, heart disease, cancer, and asthma than people without those health issues. The use of e-cigarettes among people who have never smoked were up almost 2 million people. This is something we have to watch very carefully. Ruben, and I'll tell you why this is just the state of our country and our state of our society. When Christianity starts becoming less of a force in Western civilization, you'll find the American citizen, they'll try to fill that vacuum by just getting loaded.
All right, Jess.
We'll pick it up.
We'll pick up on the other side of the break. One more segment. If you have you want to comment, 877-526-2151.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. If you stay ready, you do not have to get ready. You know, just the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 2288, it's respect for life. Life and physical health are precious gifts entrusted to us by God. We must take reasonable care of them, taking into account the needs of others and the common good. And the section where, I mean, the Catechism doesn't say specifically that you can't smoke or drink, and but it says in 2290, the virtue of temperance disposes us to avoid every kind of excess, the abuse of food, alcohol, tobacco, or medicine. So that's the abuse of it. So those incur grave guilt who, by drunkenness or a love of speed, endanger their own and others' safety on the road or at sea or in the air. And then the last one I'll quote is 2291. The use of drugs inflicts very grave damage on human health and life. Their use, except on strictly therapeutic grounds, is a grave offense. When it says grave offense, that's a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. Clandestine production of and trafficking in drugs are scandalous practices. They constitute direct cooperation in evil, since they encourage people to practices gravely contrary to the moral law. So, you know, you could look at that and say, well, I'm not the one who's producing it, but you're helping the proliferation of it by going and purchasing from these clandestine, you know, black market stuff. It's like saying, no, I'm not going to, I took the jab because it doesn't directly have the fetal cell lines in it. You know, morally it's okay. And It still was derived from aborted babies. So there's that the connection there. So in my eyes, and I'm it's a violation of my conscience. So
right.
If I do it, even if, let's say it isn't, it's still a sin to me because I went ahead knowing or believing that it was not right and I still did it. So anyway, that's...
Ruben, I'm going to make your arguments stronger.
Good.
Yeah, when it comes to the jab. Now, some people will say, some theologians will say, well, you know what? It's so remote when these fetal cell lines were used. You know, this was back in the 60s or back in the 70s. So you're pretty far removed from the actual event of the abortion. So, you know, you're not even close. You're not even close to the actual person that was aborted. And so you could, in good conscience, you could start taking this. That's the argument of some theologians. Well, I would say this. By using that argument, then can we also say the same thing about, well, I don't need to baptize my children because Adam and Eve's sin was so long ago. So, I mean, come on. You think the effects of Adam and Eve's original sin is going to affect me in 2021? Come on. That's so far away. I mean, I'm just so far disconnected from that actual event that, you know, I guess you don't need to be baptized because you're not even, there's no way we could be affected by the sin of Adam and Eve, what we call original sin. See how ridiculous, once you start caving in, Reuben, and start making ridiculous arguments, you're basically starting to deny cardinal teachings of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let me jump. The alarming increase in teen vaping. According to NPR in 2016, only 1 out of 10 students reported vaping. However, new findings from the Journal of American Medical Association show that the number has increased to 1 out of 4 students in 2019. The study examined data from the 2019 National Youth Tobacco Survey, including a total of 19,018 middle school and high school students. Researchers estimate more than 5 million teens vape in 2019, compared to more than 3.6 million in 2018. So it's on the rise. The data below compares the percentage of vaping and cigarette smoking. While smoking is at 5.8% for high school students, 27.5% of them use vapes. Fewer middle school students vape at around 10.5%, with 2.3% reported to smoke. So when it comes to vaping frequency, up to 21% of high school students were reported to use it daily.
Wow.
Fewer middle school students used it every day at about 9%. And among high school and middle school students, around 59% stated they preferred Juul as their brand, and 19% said they used other brands, 14% said they don't have a usual brand, and 8% said they smoke cigarettes. Wow.
Let's grasp that. Middle school students, you're talking about age 12, 13, and 14, and they're vaping, they're putting this stuff in their lungs.
Which contains THC.
There are some of the products obviously don't have it. It's because they have some are just tobacco. But nevertheless, it's, you know, what we're telling you here is that it's not good for you. So, you know, like St. Paul says, man, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness.
There you go.
Instead, expose them.
Yep.
Yeah. So in November 7th, 2019, CNBC reports that Juul has stopped selling its popular mint flavor following the release of this study and pressure from the government authorities. The mint flavor accounts for around 70% of Juul's sales. If the removed flavors are reviewed and approved by the FDA, Juul could eventually reintroduce them in the market. We published the guide on this, you know, on the alarming impact of Juul and vaping on teens. So this survey was done, and how they asked how safe is vaping compared to smoking. So they asked the following question to a total of 1,517 online respondents: how safe is vaping versus smoking cigarettes? The survey methodology. Our survey was conducted from November 5th through the 7th, 2019, using Google servers. The answers were displayed in a randomly reversed order. Respondents are a representation of English language web users from the United States across the Google Surveys publisher network. Generally, around 25% of our survey takers believe vaping is significantly less safe, while only 5.2% say it is significantly safer. But almost 40% responded they're not sure, which means many of the respondents are unaware of the vaping's real risks. So when they've analyzed the respondents' age range, we found that the older survey takers tend to think vaping is significantly less safe than smoking compared to younger respondents. And 7.6% of the youngest respondents also believe the vaping is significantly more safe, while only 3% of the oldest respondents believe vaping is significantly more safe than smoking. And this seems consistent with Dr. Blaha's 2016 study, which found that vaping was most prevalent among people ages 18 to 24, while usage decreased with age.
We believe generational differences play a crucial role in our results. Younger people are more likely to try new things, or perhaps targeted by more e-cigarette marketing and know other people who vape. On the other hand, older people are generally less flexible about trying new things, or not as prone to e-cigarette ads, and probably read more health news. If they do use vapes, some of them probably do so as a smoking cessation tool. Between men and women, based on our survey, women also tend to think vaping is significantly less safe than smoking. Overall, we gathered 842 male respondents and 675 female respondents. There's a high percentage of men, 63.1%, think e-cigarettes are significantly more safe, while 36.9% of women say it's significantly more safe. On the other hand, 41.5% of men said vaping is significantly less safe, while 58.5% of women say it is significantly less safe. This result seems to relate to a previous study about gender differences on e-cigarette use. We speculate that more positive e-cigarette perception of men contributes to their likelihood to try vaping. The study published in Addictive Behaviors in 2016 found that men were reported to have greater addiction-related expectancy to e-cigarettes than women. For vapers, men were more likely to initiate vape use to quit smoking, whereas women tended to start vaping when it's recommended by family and friends. The bottom line, vaping has exceedingly become prevalent in the last decade. But with the recent vaping epidemic, the CDC warns the public to avoid using e-cigarettes. They also encourage people to stop buying black market vape products. Moreover, vaping's prevalence prompted schools, parents, and regulators to minimize underage vaping. This pressured leading e-cigarette company Juul to cut back its distribution. Vaping is not as safe as it seems. With these recent revelations, the government is starting to impose better health regulations on e-cigarettes.
That's good. You know, if this is worse than smoking cigarettes, and smokers die 13 to 14 years earlier than others, you know, why would somebody do this? And, you know, buying the stuff, it's expensive. And then the healthcare that you're going to need to deal with it later on in your later years, that's expensive. And so, but it keeps you in bondage, being addicted to this stuff.
Yes.
You know, you lose some of your freedom. And so, you know, some of us would, you know, it indicates that smoking This stuff, it's a sinful action for most everyone who smokes it, but not a mortal sin, but a fairly serious venial sin, as I would say. You know, and you go through, there were priests, bishops, popes that have smoked cigarettes, you know, or smoked pipes or smoked cigars. And they used to use snuff in their nose, the powdered tobacco. And, you know, but you can't use this stuff without some consequences.
That's right.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed the show. We gave you a lot of data, a lot of statistics. But get this to your family members that who might be using. Go ahead, Jess.
Jesus, 911, two-man car. That's a wrap. EOW, end of watch. We're 10-7. We're out. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming to you from the Midwest Command Center.
Reminder, all right. Reminder, Terry Barber, myself, will be out at the Lassie House in Pomona with the Good Shepherd Academy School tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m.